Hi, this is Michael Fiore, and I want to welcome you to another bonus call, bonus interview, extra content for the Secret Survey program. Today's interview is going to be a little bit different than what we've done before. They've mostly been one-on-one interviews talking about particular topics. But today, it's going to be a two-on-one interview with me and two good friends of mine talking about cheating, talking about why people cheat. And, you know, I'm going to get it from the horse's mouth, as it were, because we're going to talk to folks who are bravely admitting that they have, in fact, cheated in the past or helped someone cheat in the past. And I'm going to admit right now, I have been one of those people myself when I was younger. I have been both someone who cheated on a girlfriend, who I actually loved quite a bit, and I've been the other man who helped somebody cheat on their boyfriend. I know, people are like, oh my God, I thought I liked you. I thought you were so cool. We're going to talk really frankly about this over the next 45 minutes or so, I'd assume, and give some perspective on what kind of happens, how these kind of things happen, and what it's like to be on that side of things. I get emails from women all the time saying, when they read the cheating material in the secret survey, saying, Michael, I've been there. I am that person. But I know that a lot of women, this is such a hot topic, nauseating topic, that they just can't get their brains around it. And it rules their relationship. The fear of someone cheating on them rules their relationship in a very, very horrible way. So let me just introduce my guests very quickly, and then we'll get into the meat of it. First, I want to introduce my good friend, Heather Havenwood. And Heather, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, Michael. Thank you so much. So my name is Heather Havenwood, and I'm so glad to be here. I work with datingtriggers.com, mm-hmm. and what I do is a coaching service created just for men, actually to teach men how to succeed with women. Mm. However, being a woman, I'm very excited today to talk about things that I've done, mistakes that I've made, and why I made those mistakes. And I, you know, what I'm going to talk about today is basically how I was the other woman in a situation and why that even happened and why I did that. And so it's kind of lifting the skirt in a way, you know, about what really happens, and I'm excited to actually have that conversation. So thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you so much for being here, Heather, and thank you so much for being willing to talk about this stuff, because a lot of people are not, because they're afraid of being judged, they're afraid of people getting angry. And next, I wanted to introduce my good friend Carlos Zuma. Carlos, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, yeah, I'm Carlos Zuma with attractwomen.com as well as datingadviceguru.com, where I advise the ladies on dating and dating advice. Great. And yeah, I've been in all three situations you can be as far as the whole cheating thing. Been cheated on somebody else, and helped someone cheat on their SO. So I've been on all three sides of the dirty triangle.
Yes. So ladies who are listening, I think the first thing you should notice is none of the people on this call seem to be sociopaths, right? It's a really, really common situation. Now, I'm going to go on record here. I'm not pro-cheating in any way. I firmly believe if you make a promise, you should keep it. But the statistics kind of back up the fact that we are a species of cheaters, that we are, in general, bad at monogamy as a human species. Before we get in, I want to kind of give a little background on myself that I don't think I've really talked about too much. And that's like giving kind of the early programming and early education I got personally around infidelity that I had to kind of work on as I got older. I'm 34 now, and I grew up in Massachusetts. And my father he passed away quite some time ago, but he was a hard drinking, hard loving, hard selling son of a gun. He was he owned a company where he did marketing, and he traveled around a lot. And the earliest messages my dad gave my brother and I around women were essentially love him and leave him, kid, love him and leave him. And my favorite thing he ever told us, which he said many times, was, I don't care if your wife finds you sleeping with or fucking the waitress in the bathroom on your anniversary, you deny the whole thing. So my dad was a bit of a misogynist, I would guess. He was a really good guy in so many ways. I used to say he was a great father and a horrible husband. And my dad cheated on my mom as a matter of course. And my dad, and here's the interesting thing, you know, he'd be in his 60s now if he was still around. He was born in the 40s, the late 40s. And he didn't see anything wrong with it, right? To my dad, he was kind of old school Lebanese, which is kind of like old school Italian in a lot of ways. And the way he was raised was that you go out, you make the money, you provide for your wife and your family. And yeah, you have your mistress on the side, kind of a Sopranos thing in a lot of ways. And that was kind of what was first pushed into my head. And I'll talk about my own experience cheating on the first woman I ever fell in love with when I was younger. later. But just that was kind of – I know a lot of other guys who have kind of gone through the same thing, especially guys of an older generation. A lot of the women who buy this program and invest in this program are in their 50s and 60s themselves. And you're dealing with kind of an old school mentality. There's also the younger guys, and younger guys cheat too, though I think the reasoning is a little bit different. But I'm raising my hand now and saying, you know, I think it's largely because of that programming and because of what I was told. You know, when I got to college and started to experiment sexually and meet women and got my first girlfriend, in a weird way, I didn't at first see anything wrong with it. I had to spend a lot of time kind of gaining empathy and seeing the other side of things. Okay. Carlos, why don't we start with your situation a little bit, and then we'll kind of come back to mine. So talk about, again, a lot of women, they just think, oh, if you're a cheater, let's go with this one fundamental question. To most women, and we'll talk, maybe we can weave in your situation of being a cheater with this. Mm-hmm. Most women seem to think, when I ask the question, what does it mean if a man cheats on his wife or girlfriend? Their answer is, he must not be happy in the relationship. He must not love his wife or girlfriend, or he must not be attracted to her. And the right thing for him to do is, before he cheats, he should break everything off. That seems to be the situation. Do you agree that, and in your own personal situation, I suppose even, that you have to be unhappy in your relationship as a man to cheat on a woman?
No, I don't think that's necessarily the case. It hasn't. Hasn't always been for me, for sure.
Yeah.
At times, there were differing reasons, of course. At one point, it was because of a personality flaw. You know, cheating for me was not losing the girl I had in favor of, well, novelty. You know, somebody new that came along that, you know, shines to you, that gives you a little bit of interest, pumps up your ego a little bit. So there's the validation and virility aspect for guys in a lot of ways. It's like what you were saying when you were talking about, you know, there's in the right situations, anybody will cheat. It's just, you know, how do you avoid those situations and how do you set yourself up for the most success?
And I think also knowing what those situations are, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to be different for each people. And I'll admit this personally. I love my girlfriend. She's fantastic. We have a great sex life. We have a great life in general. I make a point of not being alone in a room with a woman who I know wants to sleep with me, right? I just don't do it because, you know what? I have a high sex drive. I like women. I'm a bit of a flirt. And I know that if I'm in a room alone with a girl who is giving me those signals, it is the hardest thing in the world for me not to take advantage of them. Same way, like, I don't walk by the cupcake shop after I go to the gym if I can avoid it, because willpower is an extraordinarily small thing. And sexual desire is a fundamental thing in humanity. Right? It's like eating, sleeping, and fucking, right? Yep. Are the three big things that are there. And I just want to reiterate what Carlos was saying there, where it's like, this is the hardest thing for so many women to get their brains around. A lot of men who cheat on their wives or girlfriends do actually sincerely love their wives or girlfriends and are actually happy in their relationship. And there's been a lot of studies that have backed this up. I know Ira Glass, who does the This American Life podcast or show, his mother was a sex researcher years ago. And that was her big discovery, was that, weirdly enough, both for men and women, but largely more for men, it's not that they're like, oh, my relationship sucks, I don't love my wife, I don't find her attractive. It's, I want to sleep with other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the reason, right? Carlos, why don't you talk a little bit about your own experience cheating, if you can kind of give some idea about it and what your mindset was like when it's happened in the past. I like what you said about it's not about losing the girl you had, but about novelty that kind of thing. So please expand on that.
Well, there's a lot to be said for, you know, a guy's sex drive in terms of why we do it. I think there's a lot connected to the overall desire for feeling virile. Like I said before, virility is a very important and driving factor for a guy's self-identity and his own self-worth. And I know that coming from a woman's perspective, a lot of women actually human beings in general like to think, at least in this day and age, that our sexuality is something that we can rationally understand.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't work that way. I mean, I talk about this a lot in the programs that I create for men and women, that there's the way we wish things were and with the way we want them to be and the way they actually are. And the more you keep those two separate in your mind, the harder time you're going to have when you start to get right down to it. So as far as cheating, for me, it was I'll give the specific situation of being in a long-term relationship with a gal of about 5 years. And during that time, yeah, there were a couple of times I had a little few falls from grace. Mm-hmm. They were mostly due to novelty and wanting to, again, feel revalidated by the interest of another woman. So there's a lot to be said for just – I was totally happy in the relationship, yeah, actually, and it was that consistency. But there's two parts of it, right? We desire the rush of new romance, mm-hmm, and we also desire that heroin effect of a stable long-term relationship.
So, Carlos, thank you very much for sharing that. And I think that the main thing that kind of really put forward there, which is so difficult for so many people to understand, is that particularly for men, but I think also for women, cheating is not – it's often not about the other partner. Right. Oftentimes. Now, there are certainly going to be situations, I think, particularly for women. I think women are more likely to cheat out of vengeance than men are. I've never personally heard of a man who said, I cheated on my wife and it was her fault, though I have had many women write me and say, I cheated on my husband or my boyfriend because he's a son of a bitch, which is kind of interesting to me. Heather, as a woman on the call, what's your reaction to what Carlos just kind of said about the idea of validity for men being a big part of cheating and the desire to have additional women, the desire to have variety? What does that kind of trigger for you?
Well, I completely understand that perspective that, you know, Carlos has. And, you know, something you just said about women cheating out of vengeance. Mm-hmm. I know for myself, someone who has cheated, mm-hmm, who has been cheated on. I've never had the one, though, of helping other people cheat. That's a new one. But yeah. I can honestly say I didn't do out of a vengeance. It was not about vengeance for me. So that's something I, you know, when you said that, I'm like, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily true for all women at all times. The first guy I ever really cheated on, actually, this is when I was very young. I was 21. I've been dating him since I was 18. We were engaged, mm-hmm, to be married.
Wow.
And I call that my dark year because it was the first time I really began to explore my sexuality. It was the first year I got a vibrator. It was the first year I said, "Oh, I can have sex and I'm out in bars and what is this?" Then I started to explore. I wanted to explore, and the person I was in a relationship with, we weren't very sexual. I'd known him for a very long time. He was my best friend. You know, he was my just boyfriend, but really more of a confidant and friend. And I just wasn't willing to be 100% with him sexually because I started to have this whole emotion around being open. And I think that's one of the things for me during that time that it was a horrible time. It was called my black year because, yeah, I forgot which lie I told him at the time. You know, he would get mad at me and go, wait a minute, you said this and this. And I'm yelling at him thinking to myself, I can't remember the lie I told you last. And, you know, after we broke up, I went right into therapy going, what was that about? You know, what had me go through that process? And a lot of it was going back to, you know, my childhood, which for me, my dad, cheated on my mom and then married that person.
Wow.
So I think that came from that conversation many years back. I think that, you know, women today, I don't think they cheat because they're mad. I think they cheat on many other levels because they are maybe questioning themselves and where they are and where they're at and what the feelings they have with going on. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of different stories. And the one story that we can talk about now or later was when I then became the other woman and I was the other woman in a situation, you know, dating or whatever, sleeping with a married man. And so that's something we can talk about now.
Yeah.
Or
why don't we cover that a little bit later? I want to keep this, sure, relatively compartmentalized for now.
Sure.
And focus a little bit more on, you know, being the cheater at first. And, you know, we've had Carlos kind of talk in broad terms about his experience and that idea of the validity aspect. And I can speak to that myself. The first time I ever cheated on a girlfriend, I was 18 years old, I think. I had started college at one college. I had met this really wonderful girl who I'm still friends with now. And then I transferred schools. And so that first year we were together and nothing happened. I can remember, I hope. It's college, weird things happen. And then I went to a different school and we were, you know, a few hundred miles away from each other. And I remember meeting a girl who liked me. And for me, at that point, I was a skinny, no self-esteem, ADHD adult, kind of depressed young man. And personally, did not have the tools to handle a woman finding me sexually attractive at the time in any kind of positive way. And so I met this woman who kind of fell for me, and she would basically come on to me. And at the time, I just kind of went along with it because I was like, well, yeah, as a guy, it's like a woman is offering me a blowjob. Oh, my freaking God, what do I do? It's really, really hard to say no to that kind of thing. Most guys will admit that, by the way. Most guys, even guys who love their wives and have all this kind of like, have so much fidelity and love and everything else. If the most beautiful woman in the world just walked up and said, you want a blowjob? They'd be like, yes, I suppose. It actually reminds me of a time I didn't cheat on an ex-girlfriend of mine. This is actually a funny story, but this is a whole other story that I think I tell in the program to a certain degree. But I was with a woman who didn't have a sex drive, and we were together for 3 years, and her sex drive had totally died. And one night I went out to a business meeting, of all things, and this really rather attractive young brunette hit on me. And I just was like letting her hit on me, and I ended up kissing her, but didn't go any further. And she said, if you want to fuck me, come over here. And I said, well, I want to, but I'm not going to. What do I do in that case? Right? And it kind of goes from there. But anyway, it's that validation is huge. You know, so why do men cheat? Because they want sex to a certain degree. It's not always that they're like emotionally attracted to another woman or anything like that. It's just like, well, there's the opportunity for sex that's kind of going on. For me, I know that it was because I was missing something emotionally in myself. It had nothing to do with my girlfriend. She was a wonderful girl and remains a wonderful girl. I really like her as a person, but was just like looking for something. Was just like, it's intoxicating to be desired. Most guys, by the way, the vast majority of men, this is hard for a lot of women to understand, never feel sexually desired in their lives, right? It's really a one-way street. A lot of women are like, well, I get hit on by guys all the time. Personally, the first time I really had got looked at by somebody who had tremendous lust out of nowhere for me was when I was walking down the street in Seattle and a gay guy hit on me. And I was like, oh my God, like I'm not gay, it's not my thing, but that's the weirdest feeling in the world.
Let's talk. Way to get free drinks, by the way.
It is a great way to get free drinks, and I've actually had a good friend of mine. We used to go out to gay bars together, and he would use me as bait, basically, because I'm a big hairy guy, and a lot of gay guys like that.
That's funny.
So let's talk. There's a big concept out there that says, a man is as faithful as his opportunity, right? And the best examples of this, I think, lately are the guys like Tiger Woods and Arnold Schwarzenegger, both of whom I think did some pretty scummy things because they were actively going out there and looking for tremendous numbers of women over and over again. But I know as a guy, when I heard about Arnold Schwarzenegger cheating on his wife many, many times, or I heard about Tiger Woods cheating on his wife many, many times, or I heard about Newt Gingrich cheating on his wife many, many times, or I heard about Bill Clinton cheating on his wife. I don't think any guy hears that and immediately goes, wow, what a horrible person. For that anyway, they might hate him for other people, for other reasons. But we're not surprised as guys at all. When I heard Tiger Woods was having sex with hundreds of women, I was like, well, yeah, he's Tiger Woods. He can, therefore he will. What, Carlos and Heather, what are your kind of reads on that, on that whole alpha male sleeping with a bajillion women kind of concept?
I really think there is a strong connection between that leadership power drive in a lot of guys and that sexual connection, right? Yeah. Where they offset, and there's the whole, you can go into the whole Freudian Jungian discussion about sublimating and channeling our sexual energy and everything. But I think it's very real that there are guys with a significantly higher sex drive, and that translates into a lot of their power aspirations and their personality overall. Mm-hmm. And that can be very hard. Like you're saying, a lot of this is hard for women to understand from their perspective, and the same thing happens for guys. And our reasons for misunderstanding the other sex's reason for cheating, they trace back to our own perspective. We're very locked into our own perspective. Women need to feel a lot more connected and connected to the guy that they're with, so they don't understand how he can do that to them when that's how they would have to experience it from her point of view, right? And a guy, the same thing. He's probably looking at it from his perspective of, we don't need a whole lot to be sexually interested in somebody, but women do. Women need less, a lot more than just the physical appearance.
Yeah, and for guys, and Heather, we'll have you chime in a second. For guys, you know, I write about this in the program, and I talked about this in another interview. We really do have the women we'd date, women we'd sleep with, women we'd marry kind of demarcation. There are women that we would sleep with who we have no interest in as far as a relationship goes, right? It's like just like, right. Well, she's kind of hot and she's got a tongue ring. That would be fun. You know, it doesn't mean I want to give up my entire relationship. It doesn't mean I want to do anything like that. Heather, what are your thoughts on that idea of the alpha male, the alpha male serial cheater and where that kind of comes from and what it means?
Well, you know, something I thought about when I'm listening to you guys is a few things. One is Bill Clinton.
Yep.
John Kennedy.
Yep.
There's a huge thing going on right now.
I would also say Martin Luther King, by the way.
Martin Luther King. Yeah. Yes. I mean, you know, there's a huge thing right now going on about the intern, John Kennedy. It just came out last week.
Yeah.
John Kennedy intern that he slept with while he was in the presidency. And yep. She's just now coming out, right? There, she's in her 50s or 60s.
Yep.
Bill Clinton, I'm sure when he gets older and may pass away, everyone's going to come out of the woodwork, right? We don't know. But here's the point. It's very tied to, this is kind of a psychology thing, but it's tied to what Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich talk about. Sex transmutation, i.e. charisma, is the highest power of energy that we can have as human beings, especially men.
Yeah.
And it's what drives them to be a president of the United States of America, one of the best countries in the world. What drives them to be the best in business. And so it's kind of a yin and yang. Women are attracted and want to marry that man, yet they want to hone that energy into a small little ball and go, well, you can create that energy in business, just don't do it over there. Well, it's kind of a yin and yang. It's a double-edged sword. You almost, in a way, have both. Newt Gingrich, you can go on and on and on. Obama, Bill Clinton's a big one, I think, and John Kennedy, people who – they love Bill Clinton. Some people love the Kennedys, especially John Kennedy, and he was a serial cheater.
Yep.
Because his energy as a charismatic man was so strong that getting women was easy, opportunist, yet he wasn't going to hinder the relationship he was with his wife and children and things like that. Now, it is a double-edged sword. And I think that, and I'll speak from experience, from my own personal experience my father was the same way, very charismatic man, very established, extremely successful in a certain business. And when situations were getting tough in the relationship at the time, the marriage, he did cheat. Now, was he at the time thinking he was going to go through a massive divorce and marry that person? No, that was not at all in his point of view. That's not exactly why he did that. It just happened to be that, you know, at that time, my mother was like, I'm not going to deal with it. Bam, she, you know, killed the relationship. Now he's like, oh, great. Right. So he married her. But that was not what was in his forefront. So going back to the original conversation is, women are attracted to that high charismatic man who walks in the bar or the restaurant or a room. Yet we want to control the energy.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting dynamic. And the person I think about is Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. She knows who he is.
Mm-hmm.
She understands who he is. And she accepts the good, the bad, and everything that goes along with that. And I think this is a conversation with women. If you're going to be in a relationship with a man at that high level energy, you have to understand what you're tapping into. You just have to understand that.
Yeah.
And either give them the freedom, or you get to a level of your high sexual energy that you can really tap into that and completely satisfy.
I want to speak to a couple of things that you just said there, actually. I have a phrase I'm playing around with lately is that cleavage, you know, status is like cleavage for a man, right?
That's good.
Status is cleavage for a man. And gaining status, gaining power, gaining visibility for a man, becoming famous, becoming more powerful in a company, whatever else, for a man is a lot like losing 30 pounds and getting a boob job for a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I've personally gone through this. You know, I used to be, when I was in my mid-20s, a very skinny, no confidence person. And then over time, I got in better shape, and I started making some money, and I gained a lot of confidence, and then I went on television. And let me tell you, they come out of the woodwork as soon as you're quote unquote famous in some way. And I was only on TV, a couple different small TV shows, but it's an amazing change for a guy when you're like, oh my God, I've got status. And women are looking at you with desire for the first time. And you're just like, oh, I don't even know what to do with this. This is the weirdest thing. Even to this day, my girlfriend jokes about the emails that I get from women who buy my products or who see different things. I've gotten marriage proposals over email before, right? Because status is like cleavage for men. It kind of goes from there. And it's a really intoxicating, powerful thing. There's also that sometimes women ask me, Michael, why is he so afraid to commit, right? And there's a concept I have called the death of possibility, which I think is a large portion of why men are reluctant to commit in general. Because all men like to think that they have the possibility of going out and sleeping with dozens or hundreds of women, right? They like to think that could happen if they got the right job, if they became famous, if they got on TV, if they did whatever else that could happen. And a true commitment of, you know, marriage that's truly thinking, hey, this is going to be forever, kills that possibility and can actually depress the living hell out of some guys. Where you're like, well, why am I doing it? Why am I doing this? Why am I driving so hard if I'm not going to get the girl? Because really, for guys, a large portion of why we try to be successful and do things is to attract women. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple. It's like the fundamental of kind of what goes on there. Carlos, do you have anything to kind of add to that idea to kind of validate that or refute it?
It's interesting you say that because I've talked about a similar topic with guys, and that is that when it comes to this whole recent movement in the last few years of pickup artists, yeah. It's not that really men – I think on a certain level a lot of women think that if guys could be, they would be out there being players and total gigolos going out and getting every woman they could. And that's not really necessarily true. Guys do have a very strong drive to have that one relationship. Yeah. But like you said, we want to have the power, the possibility to have many women.
Yes.
And that's what drives men on a lot of levels is we want that. We have that bifurcated need. We have on one side, we'd love to have a great, cool girlfriend. And every time I hold a seminar or I have any kind of coaching session, I ask the guys, raise your hand if any of you would be interested in, you know, having one cool girlfriend. And I do this in these rooms of guys that are just learning nothing but pickup artist techniques that, you know, just want to get laid. And almost every single hand goes up.
Yep.
And I'm always thinking, wow, that's really interesting that these guys are here learning these things that are going to give them that ability to get as many women as possible. Yet at the same time, every single one of them would gladly trade it in to have one cool chick in their life. Yes. And so that's the duality that a lot of men have to live with. And like you said, it's an important factor in how guys view their sex drive.
I think a lot of guys, their ideal life, right? If they could shape reality in this way, the ideal for them would be I have my wife or my girlfriend who I love, who I have a family with, who I adore, who is wonderful, who adores me. And I fuck other girls on the side sometimes,
mm-hmm.
right? Like if they could do that without it being a problem, right? And not necessarily like, oh, I'm sleeping with a new girl every night and whatever else, but just like, yeah, I have my great family. And then every once in a while I meet a girl and this kind of thing happens.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I really think that's kind of what guys would be happiest with. Now the weird flip side, of course, is male jealousy, mm-hmm. which means, well, I want to have my wife and my girlfriend or my girlfriend. I want to have all that great stuff. I want to occasionally sleep with other girls, but I don't want her to sleep with anybody else.
Yeah.
Right? Which is blatant hypocrisy. And is unrealistic and whatever else. But, you know, in a fantasy world, if guys could just have what they really wanted, it'd be like, yeah, I've got my wife, my girlfriend, and then occasionally I sleep with that hot 22-year-old at the Starbucks. And that's just kind of fun. I don't really know her that well. It's just kind of something we do because it's fun. It makes me feel good.
Hey,
yeah.
Michael, I want to tap in here. So something that I don't think we're addressing that I have to say is that, I was just having this conversation yesterday with a woman who's in her 40s and she's dating after divorce. She's been in marriage for 20 plus years. She's just not getting out of the relationship, completing the divorce. And she's just now like telling me things like, God, I'm horny and I have a vibrator and this is exciting.
Oh, yeah.
I'm having the best sex of my life. And,
yeah.
you know, she's telling me quietly in the dressing room. And I'm her only friend that she can tell this to,
mm-hmm.
because she thinks that where she lives in the burbs is that all these women who are married don't have these feelings. I'm like, no, you're wrong about that.
Yes.
But okay. So I'm the single one. So she can like, oh, tell me everything. But something I told her, I said, well, what you're experiencing, especially someone right now who right now is in their 40s or 30s, even in their 50s, is that when you're born and you were growing up in your teens, you were taught as a female, don't have sex, don't have sex. Yep. Sex is dirty. Don't have sex. Don't have sex. You're not supposed to have sex. Wait till you get married. And then all of a sudden, you're married. Okay, have sex, have sex, have sex, have sex, have sex.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Your reptilial brain from when you're 12 and 13 years old, okay, being told it's dirty and don't be slutty and don't dress like that and all these negative things towards sex. And then all of a sudden you're getting married at 20, 21, 22, whatever, 25.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden no one's telling you that anymore. And then your husband's like, why aren't we doing what we're doing? And here she is in her 40s for her first time in her life going, I love kinky sex and I love all these really cool things. I'm talking about threesomes. She's all like excited nervous and she's 45. You know, and I'm going, wow. Because one of the things I think that we're not talking about is that women cheat too.
Oh, definitely.
It's not because of the vengeance. It's sometimes to explore because many times in the relationship that, especially older, if they marry for 20 years, they're not having sex. I asked her, I said, when the last few years of your marriage, of your 20-year marriage, how many times were you having sex? She's like, 4 times a year, maybe.
Oh my God.
I'm like, wow. Oh my God. Right. Yeah. I'm like, I can't even imagine. However, there's so many women today that are sexually frustrated. And so when the man goes outside the marriage to have sex to fulfill that void, they get angry. Not because technically they're getting pleasure, because they're not doing it.
Yeah. It's jealousy.
It's jealousy.
I want that too. Envy. Yeah.
Yeah. Why am I not out having a good time? I'm a sexual being. Yeah. I'm 45, mm-hmm. but I'm horny. I'm wet, whatever.
Yep.
And that's a big thing. That I think is a huge one. And when you get a chance, I want to definitely tell the story about how I was the other woman.
Well, let's do that now. This sounds like a great time for it.
It's a great time.
Yeah.
So I have to, you know, preface the conversation. So I knew him and her. Mm-hmm. I knew both of them. They were married. I knew them in an industry perspective. And so I knew both of them through business. And then there was a time when I knew that they were having a whatever, they were going through separation, whatever, through just the industry, you know, like in the world of like, oh, it's hard to hear that. And he started hitting on me and I was a huge no. I'm like, no, 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 you're not divorced. This is a big, huge lesson I learned. And I tell it and then I lived it and I tell it again. Separation is not divorce.
Mm.
You can live in two different places. I don't care. You're still married. And there's a huge, not only legal, emotional psychology around that. And this is a great story for that. Mm-hmm. So he's separated, living in a different place, but really just down the street. And he kept hitting on me, no, it's over, it's over, it's over, it's over. And we traveled and he publicly told people that we were traveling together. And I then publicly started to say it for a while. I was very secretive because mm-hmm. I was like embarrassed. I'm like, okay, he's getting divorced and what's the big deal, right? I completely fell for it. And I publicly put it out there that I was seeing this person. And what happened is, which is really interesting, is we were in a relationship that I was starting to like him, right? We're having intimate, we're having sex, we're traveling. I'm starting to like him, you know, and then all of a sudden, one day he says, I knew we needed to complete it because it was getting really ugly and there was starting things to be like, I could tell he started to change and I was like, something's wrong and what's going on? And he's like, he went and talked to me and I'm like, okay, you know what? I can't do this. This is too much drama and I like you and this is too much drama for me. I need to pull out. He goes, tell you what, why don't you and I talk and meet? I'll never forget this day. Mm-hmm. He says, why don't we meet at this location? And this is in an area of Florida. And he said, meet me outside by the bell tower. Could have been a movie, right? He's like, meet me at the bell tower at noon. I swear, this is exactly what it was. Meet me at the bell tower at noon in like the square of the town. And it's an area where there's shopping and malls. And it was really nice. And I said, great. He goes, we'll have lunch and we'll talk. And I was like, perfect. So I'm standing there at the street corner under this bell tower waiting for him at noon on this beautiful day in Florida. And I look over and I see him and my heart just drops. He's holding his wife's hand.
Oh.
And he's walking towards me with her. And I just freeze. And she walks up and says, "Hi, Heather." And I go, "Hello." And I say her name. And I look at him and go, "Hello." And they're holding hands. And I'm like, I don't know what to say right now. And she says, "We should go to lunch. We have a conversation at lunch with him and her." And she addresses to him and her, one, "Why did you cheat with my husband?"
Yep.
"He's still my husband. Yes, we were going through hard times and he was living in one of our other condos. We were still married." And then looks at him and goes, "Why did you cheat with her?" And we had lunch with the waitress and everything. And the tension in that room at that table was intense. And I had to look at her and apologize. And I did. I was like, "I apologize for doing what I did. And I apologize for getting in the way." And you're right. I really had no idea what was really going on. I only knew from one side.
And I'm gonna say, though, that's a fantastic story. And
it's crazy.
Crazy. And well, good for her for being so mature and handling it in such a powerful way, which I think is, yeah.
Oh, I learned so much from her, because what from her perspective and then my perspective and his perspective, like all of our perspectives got heard, right? Mm-hmm. And we ended up having lunch. We ended up going shopping together. Now, we're not best friends, right?
Yeah.
And at the same time, what I got was, one, separation doesn't mean complete.
Oh, yeah.
One, that was a huge one that I tell every single person. Just because you're separated and you're going through the process of divorce or wherever it's at in the process, it is not complete, first of all. Second of all, is that when you are with somebody in that situation, there's not just one perspective. You have the other person's perspective. You have all the perspective, as well as she brought up her kid.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
She brought up the perspective of the kid. And now, it's not about killing the household. It was really about all the different perspective, all the different emotions that was involved, and how easily it is to fall for it. Now, here's what's really interesting, because the question came up, you know, to the guy, "Why did you do this? Why did you pursue her?" Because he pursued me.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
He pursued me. And he said, "Well, I wasn't satisfied with us, it was life." And he's like, "You know, I wanted to get you back." It was his way of going, "Well, if you're not going to satisfy me, I'm going to go over here. You're going to get jealous, and then you're going to want me back." So he was using the situation so that he got what he wanted, which is what his wife back.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it's
But it's quite a story. Carlos, you have anything to say on that story? Any comments?
Well, I mean, there's that situation where a guy is going to have his own motivations for doing that. I can only give perspective from some of the situations I've been involved in, and hearing the story, I can vividly imagine the palpable
tension in the room.
Oh my God. Yeah. The waitress was even concerned. Like, is there something going to die here? I'm like, I don't know. Just a minute. It might be.
Venom dripping off her fangs, you know, as it were.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can throw out a similar, you know, if we're going to trade stories,
sure,
I've got
go for
a story
it.
Of the experience I had, and I guess it's probably one of the better ones to explain the same sort of thing. And it's from a woman's point of view, which I think is going to be of most interest to Michael's ladies that have gotten this program as well. Back a few years back, I won't say how many to keep some people out of the guilty bin, but I was at a friend's, his band was playing at a club, and we went there. I met this gal, and she's a little bit of an older woman. And I have this thing for older ladies, not too older, but older ladies. Yep. And she came up to me, and we were talking, and her husband was there at the same time. And I just put it out there, "Well, it was great meeting you and everything." And she slipped me her card at the end. And I'm thinking to myself, okay. And the card was for something like totally unrelated. We'd never talked about, like, I needed real estate services for anything. And she was a real estate agent. So she gave me the card. And I'm thinking, why'd she give me her card? So I called her up, and, you know, one thing led to another. We ended up going out to a posh little San Francisco restaurant. and had a little tryst in what was then my Jeep Grand Cherokee. And you know,
how romantic.
Yeah, you know what I mean? If you're going to have fun, why the hell not do it in the car? And the funny thing was, it wasn't even my suggestion. But you know, as time wore on and this relationship evolved, and most of the women that actually I've been with since then kind of know about this story. It's part of my redemption is that I can talk about it with them and they can understand what my motivations were. But hearing what her motivations were, it actually tied in with a book that I had read around the same time called Women's Infidelity, which I highly encourage the women who have gotten Michael's program to also take a look at. It's available, I believe it's available online anyway. It's a book and it explains that there is this very secret, and men are very shocked to hear about this, but there's kind of a secret underground pool of knowledge of women who cheat. Yep. And they know about it and they don't let men know about it. And it's really, you know, it's amazing how well it's kept from men's eyes. Of course, there's also the denial factor, but we won't go there. Yep. But to finish the story, the woman that I was seeing at the time, her reason, her rationale for cheating and eventually was revealed to me was just her sex drive didn't match her husband's. So she needed to get that taken care of. So she would dabble and she, you know, was pretty open about it, quite honestly, but not with her husband. And it was funny because a few years later on, we actually ended up, my girlfriend and I, a different girlfriend, and her husband ended up going out to dinner. And yeah, there was a similar kind of tension, only the tension of not knowing and, you know, how do you talk with this person and not give away the fact that there was something there and, you know, the weird sexual energy of that situation. But yeah, the interesting thing was finding out just how frequently and just how common it is for women to do the same thing that a lot of guys assume is typically just a male thing, or maybe we'd like to believe that.
A lot of women assume it's just a male thing too, which is always hilarious to me. I post on my Facebook wall, who cheats more, men or women? Men do. Men cheat all the time. Men are never faithful. Women are always faithful. I'm like, that's mathematically impossible, by the way. All men are not having sex with the same woman. It's not like there's one woman somewhere in the middle of the country who has sex with all the men who cheat. It doesn't work that way. Statistically, you know, from actual studies, it's more like, men are slightly more likely to cheat, or possibly they just report it more. Mm-hmm. Women are a lot better at hiding the fact they're cheating. Guys are kind of stupid about it. Women are crafty.
Oh my God. I don't agree with that at all.
Oh, I've heard some stories. Guys are just dumb about it. They're like, oh my God. They get caught in the stupidest ways. Whereas women are just like, I've talked to women before.
Women do cheat. They really do. And it's because the whole thing you just said right there, Carlos, sex drive does not match their significant other, their husband. Mm-hmm. And they also want to feel sexy, especially if they're in a marriage over a long term, 15, 20, 25 years. They want to feel sexy again. They want to feel that passion. And if their husband's not willing to go there and continue that sexuality, they're gonna find other places. That's the bottom line.
That also ties into something that's important for, I think, everybody to know, and that is, you know, how frequently men do drop the ball when it comes to long-term relationships and keeping that energy going because of some of the things we've been talking about, their own needs of wanting to feel validated. Maybe it isn't novel anymore. It isn't quite as exciting, and it takes a lot more work maybe on a certain level to keep it going with a partner you've been with for 10, 20, 30, maybe more years. But there, you know, men drop that ball, and then, of course, what do? By virtue of that, they open the door for a woman to have only one avenue to get her needs resolved.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of a friends with benefits relationship I had several years ago with a woman I'm still quite good friends with, where she had just gotten out of a marriage, a bad marriage. She was married for like 7 years, beautiful woman, about 7 years older than me. And she got out of that marriage, and we met, and we ended up having a really good sexual relationship for about a year. And it was just that she had not been desired in so long, right? It wasn't about dating.
That's huge.
It wasn't about anything. It was just, she just wanted a attractive man to grab her and throw her and bend her over the couch and fuck her silly. Right? Like a pretty basic desire, honestly. Like, who doesn't? And I was like, you know what? I will volunteer for that. Sure. No problem. I'm more than
happy. Well, one thing, and I have to bring this up if you don't mind, is it's about, I call it the Madonna whore syndrome.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, just if anyone, the women don't know it, you guys know it, you're like, yeah, yeah, I get that. No, most women don't understand that, is the Madonna whore syndrome is when a man sees the woman, their wife, their mother of their children, as this virtue of Madonna, and they don't want to do anything negatively sexual to her.
Yeah.
However, the mistress, they'll bend her, you know, bend her over, give her a nice little, you know, basically fuck her really well, and do the blowjobs and all that. I've even had men say, "Oh, I don't want to give, I don't want my wife to give me a blowjob. That's the mouth that kiss my children." Yep. And I'm like, "You've got to be kidding me!" But that is what most men, especially in old, what I call older, what I mean
old,
by that is
old
over
school.
Old school, is that they don't realize that mother, that wife, is also wants to be a whore in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And it is a common conversation. And I live in the burbs of Texas, and that is literally what I see. Moms walking around in suburban world. They work out 2 hours a day. They're hot.
Yep.
And they're not getting bitten over at night.
Yep.
They're not getting a nice little bang in the bedroom. They're not getting it.
Well, and so many guys, by the way, you know, with my sexual wife in the bed product, I talk about this a lot. Guys are shocked that women want to have sex and that women want, like, aggressive sex. Right? They want, like, yes, I want to fuck. Like, you know, I mean, you know, granted, yes, we all like to make love and there's that sweetness, but sometimes you just want to fuck. And so many guys are like, my wife would never want that.
That's the one that wants it.
And I'm like, are you crazy? What's going on? I also think there, you know, Heather, there's an issue, which I've been thinking about a lot lately, which is that human beings in general, but I think men more than women, you lose interest in the woman you're with for a long time. You know, there is something about men more than women. I think women have this too, which is so hardwired for variety and the seeking of variety. You know, when you look at pornography or that kind of thing, a woman will never make as much money in porn as she will in her first week. Right? Her first week, when she's totally new, when nobody knows her, when she's fresh, all of these guys are like, oh my God, the new girl. And then the next week they're like, where's the next new girl? And it's a really horrible thing. I wish there was a way to change it, because we also want that long-term relationship, but there does seem to be an issue where a lot of guys just lose some level of sexual attraction towards that woman they're with over time. And it gets more and more difficult to kind of bring it back in. Also the Madonna whore thing. I've noticed this recently myself. My girlfriend and I had a conversation recently where she was like, Michael, why are you being so nice to me in the bedroom all of a sudden? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, We still have good sex, but it's kind of not as, you know, aggressive as it used to be. What's going on? I was like, oh God, I was doing that thing that guys do. Like, I was doing that Madonna whore thing where I was like, in my fantasies, I was imagining all these other women doing incredibly dirty things, right? And then when I was with the woman I love, who was a very beautiful, attractive, sexy woman, I was like, oh, well, this is my girlfriend, right? Mm-hmm. And we had to consciously correct that. Right. Where she had to kind of, like, you know, play the coy little tease and get me. And I was like, oh, OK, yeah. Yeah. OK, we can do this. We can be like a nice couple in the real world. And when we come into the bedroom, it can be on. I want to transition. Actually, it sounds like you have something to say, but after that, I want to transition to one final question to kind of cover. Go ahead.
I want to say one thing, and I was talking to a girlfriend of mine just yesterday. She lives in Santa Monica. Beautiful. She's a model. She's an actress. Gorgeous. Very smart. She's actually a doctor. Okay, just amazing. Just stunning. And I was talking to her about sex, and she goes, she's giving me this, like, herb. She's real big into herbs, and she goes, this will make you horny. I'm like, oh, great. Okay. And I started talking to her about it. She goes, you know, sometimes you just want dick. I go, that is the one thing that most women can't say. She's like, of course. I look at my boyfriend and go, I want dick now. And I'm like, you know, but as a woman saying that, there's this like, oh, that's so funny. You know, but as a man, you're like, and? It's that.
Well, as a man, you're also a little threatened by it. Right?
Yeah, like, I want your dick now.
Like,
what?
It's funny because a lot of my sexual fantasies are about being the other man, right? Like, there's something for me that is very powerful about seducing the, and I've done it in the real world in the past, but, you know, maybe not so proud about that, but of being the man who seduces a woman away from the man she's with, right? And that's really powerful. But the idea of somebody doing that to me, oh my God, Oh, Jesus. It's the most horrible thing ever. But these are fantasies, right? I mean, we can all talk. By the way, just because you have a fantasy doesn't mean you're actually going to do it, right? There's lots of guys who have really weird fetishistic fantasies, some of which they never want to actually do. For instance, I got an email the other day from a woman saying, whenever we're having sex, my husband talks dirty about how I'm a slut who's going to go and sleep with all these other guys. Does he actually want me to do it? I'm like, well, you should probably ask him. He may or he may not, but it does, just because people have these triggers in their brain doesn't mean it's what they actually want, by the way. Let's transition out because, you know, we can go. I think we could talk all day about this stuff, and I think it's great content. But I want to talk about one final thing before we kind of close up, which is, I guess it's actually a two-part question. One is, if a woman is with a man and he cheats, is that or should that be the end of a relationship? Even a long, you know, if a woman's with a man for 20 years, they have two kids, they have a house, they have a mortgage, they have retirement accounts, he cheats. Should that be the end?
I want to talk about that. Do you mind if I, sorry, Carlos, if you were going to talk, but I have to, I come from experience. Mm-hmm. My dad cheated and to family life, kids, business, wife, two children, 6 and 8, my mom made a decision, you know, no, the answer was no. And I don't know what happened. I was 6, right?
Yep.
And she made a conscious decision. Now, looking back now, I'm 35, and the things that has expired since then, or, you know, everything that happened.
Yep.
You know, I have to say, from my perspective as the child, I don't know if that was the best decision.
Hmm.
Because it completely killed not only the love, but the financial side.
So you mean her ending the relationship. You don't know if that was the best decision.
I don't think that was
correct.
The best decision.
Okay, great.
Looking back.
Yeah.
Now, I can say all day, here as a female, and of course, if my husband cheated, screw him, blah, blah. Yep. But there's a huge financial, emotional thing that you're killing. I don't know if that cut is really the best decision all the time for a situation.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be one-off, you know, be case by case. In this situation, I have to look back and go, I don't think that was the best decision my mom did. I really don't. I really, really don't. Because I don't think at that situation my dad wanted to continue that. It was a one-off thing.
I want to say one thing, and then Carlos will have you jump in. To me, it's almost like, here's a really bad metaphor. A lot of women like sweets, chocolate, things like that. For me, it's cupcakes. I love cupcakes. And it's a little bit like a guy divorcing his wife for eating a cupcake, right? Now, granted, that's a really bad metaphor, right? Really bad simile, whatever else. But it's like, it's for me, it's all about why did he do it and what did it actually mean, right? It's like, okay, he had sex with somebody else because he's a guy and because guys want to have sex with somebody else, or because she's a woman and wants to have sex with somebody else, right? It's not... I hate the idea that it's like, I found out that he cheats and now we have to destroy everything we've built together, right? He had sex with somebody else, or she had sex with somebody else once or twice or whatever it's going to be. And that is the end of our family. That is the end of our relationship. Divorce is bad for kids. All of these things that kind of go on. It just gets destroyed. Why? Because as humans, we want to have sex with other people.
Well, you look at Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
I mean, Hillary Clinton and then Schwarzenegger,
yep,
both wives got cheated on. One made a decision, one didn't.
Yep.
Hillary decided to stay. And
yep,
I have to say, you know what? I think she made the right decision.
I think she probably did too.
Because from a financial perspective, from a political perspective, from a lot of different – and even Chelsea, a lot of different ways, those were huge decisions. Now, Schwarzenegger, I don't know if that was the best decision for her. It doesn't really look like it. There's a lot of things you have to look at other than just he went outside the marriage for a sexual relationship.
Okay. Carlos, what are your thoughts on that question? Should cheating end a relationship? Should that be – because it seems that's it. In our culture, that seems to be it. You cheated. We're done.
Yeah, you have to know the reason why.
Yep.
You got to know why that incident. I mean, everything is its own set of circumstances, and we can't blanketly, you know, apply one decision to it. Is it, like I was saying before, is it a personality flaw, like a lack of self-control, or a very poorly developed sense of self-esteem, where you're only going to get that validation problem coming down the line, or is there some dysfunction in the relationship? And that's a very critical distinction to make, because if there's a problem in the relationship that led to that cheating, it really comes down to ask this one question: is that person a cheater, or did they cheat?
Oh, that is smart. That is smart.
Think about it in those terms, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're talking about a personality, in a situation that will not resolve itself because that person, their nature, right? The old story of the scorpion and the frog. If that person is, then their nature is to not be faithful, or they just have flaws that are going to create that situation over and over again, then you really got to seriously consider the heartache and problems you're going to have from that. But like you guys were talking about other situations where I have to say with Hillary Clinton, I think it was more of a judicious and smart move as opposed to a necessary move on her part, or, you know, a save the marriage type move. I think she knew her political aspirations. You know, we always have all these reasons for why we do something, but again, it comes down to the identity and the situation. Was just something that, you know, your marriage was on troubled ground and opportunity reared its head, or was that person really just that kind of person?
Yeah. And if they are that kind of person, they're just that kind of person. Not all of us are built for monogamy, by the way.
Yeah.
It could just be, in 2012, there are options for people. You know, if a guy or a woman is just like, you know what, I'm just not built for monogamy, there are ways to have those relationships. Monogamy is not the be-all, end-all, and we must have a monogamous relationship. I'm in a monogamous relationship. I like being in a monogamous relationship. I get a lot out of it. I know plenty of people who aren't. Who are in polyamorous, who are in open relationships, who are in whatever else, and it can work. There are options out there. Don't feel like just because that's what you saw in Leave It to Beaver, that's the only way you can do things.
Yeah, I think it's important for a guy and a girl and everybody to understand their own personal nature too, so that you don't try and put on the facade of something you're not going to be able to live up to either. You know, if you're a woman that has a tough time staying faithful, then maybe marriage isn't for you either.
Yes. And for me, it's like I'm really big on just knowing who you are and knowing your own desires. Like I said before, I don't let myself be in rooms with women I know want to sleep with me or I want to sleep with alone. Not because I'm like, I don't want to, I know that I don't have a huge amount of willpower around that. So I set up situations where I'm not going to be in that situation. Right. Cause it's just knowing who you are, because willpower is a finite resource. It's just one of something that's really hard to do. Guys, I think that's actually a great place to end it. And this has been a fantastic conversation. I think everyone who's listening to it is going to get a lot out of it. I'm sure the comment section under this, as folks get to it in the Secret Survey program, will be interesting. It may be really positive. It may be really negative, but I'm sure it'll start a good conversation. But I think the core idea here that we've kind of covered is just that, here's what I always say. Humans are complicated. Right? It's like, it's not like, oh, he cheated, therefore he's a scumbag. She cheated, therefore she's a slut and a bitch and a horrible person. Well, stuff happens, right? There's reasons. And it's very, very common. The stats are basically, I think it's like 50% or 45% of people that are in a long-term relationship admit to cheating anonymously. That's huge. And the other 50% are just like, yeah, we just don't have sex anymore. There's also the weird factor, this is a whole other conversation, that occasionally I've talked to people who say, you know, my husband cheated and it ended up being the best thing for our marriage because it forced them to have conversations on things they weren't talking about before. And it brought a spark, maybe an angry spark at first, back into things. They were able to kind of move from there and figure things out. And it can go the other way as well, because it's so easy, especially in a long-term relationship, to fall into a rut where you see your husband or your wife as a brother or a sister as opposed to a sexual being, right? Guys, Heather, Carlos, anything else you want to say to close up? And then we'll end the call. Heather, go ahead first. You there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Okay, great. I thought Carlos was going to go. So, this was a great conversation to have, I think, coming from a woman's perspective, you know, and when you asked for me to do it, I was like very excited because as someone who's, and I never really, to be honest, I never really thought about it when y'all were saying, hey, I've been cheated on. I was like, I've never been cheated on. But you know what? You know, the whole thing with my father, he cheated on the whole family.
Yeah.
You know, and there was a huge repercussion. I don't think he knew how bad the repercussion was going to be. Looking back, I think he's like, God, I wish I'd never done that because it was just such a huge repercussion. And then someone like myself who's I've cheated on. Mm-hmm. And then I was the third party. I was the other woman, you know. And you know, when they talk about the old saying, "Oh, well, he's going to leave his wife." No. Do not ever. It's one advice I say to women: do not ever take that. I mean, I was the other woman, right?
Yeah.
And my stepmother was the other woman, and she ended up being married to him. But I promise you, if my mother had taken him back, she would have not.
Yeah.
And it's only because, and I say this, and guys, I apologize, but women, I honestly believe this. Men are lazy. And what I mean by that is men have already gone through the process of finding, dating, the relationship, and gotten to the point where they're, you know, sexual with you, gotten to the point where they're now married to you, or let's say. They don't want to go through that again. That is a lot of work. And I find it fascinating that women go, oh, well, he's cheated, therefore he's gone. No, he's not gone. He's ultimately lazy.
Yeah.
You know, and he wants to go back to the relationship that he feels most comfortable and safe with because he gets that support from. And that's why I feel. And I've, you know, I just think it's really interesting. So this is a whole conversation. I just really appreciate you for bringing this together. Michael and Carlos, it's been a lot of fun, and I've contributed a lot.
I think you have. You've done great. Carlos, anything you want to close with?
Oh, I think it's great that you brought this up too, Michael, because it is a very turbulent topic, to say the least. It's one of those big, big hot buttons with, I think, everybody out there. And the only thing you can really do when it comes right down to it, and the best thing to do, unfortunately, it's not always the easiest or intuitive, is to take kind of an HMO stance to your relationship. Prevent the cheating by being proactive and not falling into the lazy habits in your relationship that create the situation where it happens, you know. And if you're doing those things, and if you're staying aware and you're not letting things just slip by or fall into the denial bin, you can pretty much stay on top of your relationship and keep it what you want it to be.
That's a great point. And I think, you know, the HMO aspect, the prevention aspect, it comes from being honest about who you are and about who your man is. You know, Prince Charming doesn't exist, and neither does Kim Kardashian. Is something I say all the time. Or, you know, the image of Kim Kardashian you see on TV of this, you know, flighty, fun, curvaceous bombshell, blah, blah, blah. They don't really exist. We're human beings, right? And, like, you just got to have the conversation. They can handle it, right? Admitting that your man will have – yes, your man has desire for other women. He does. And if he doesn't, there's probably something a little wrong with him in a weird way. Because, you know, I don't know any guys who, if you're having the actual conversation with them, will say, God, I would just want to grab that girl and ride her like a pony. Right? Like we're all like that. And same thing for women. There's, like, as Heather was saying, there's deeper desires that guys aren't even aware of. Let him know about it. Right? Have a conversation. Yes, it's going to hurt a little bit, but it'll hurt less than that later. So for everyone who's listening, for Carlos and Heather, thank you so very much. What were those links again for your stuff? Where should we send people? For Heather, go ahead first.
And datingtriggers.com.
Mm-hmm. Great. So go find out more about Heather there. And Carlos?
And for the ladies, datingadviceguru.com.
Great. And thank you so much for your time and your expertise. And thank you so much for putting yourself out there and talking about a kind of taboo topic. I really appreciate it. Ladies who are listening, please take the time to comment underneath this recording and let us know what you think. Be honest. Give your actual conversation. If this made you happy, let us know. If this made you sad or angry, let us know. We're all here to help. Thank you so very much for being here for this bonus interview, bonus call, bonus training for the Secret Survey Program. Thanks.